My recommendation is have a ready supply of things that you can do to get your dog's attention on something other than you. And then I give that to him before I'm about to get a phone call or before I'm about to get on a conference call. And I can have, 30 minutes to an hour to do whatever I need to do.
Welcome to Life with Your Dog podcast. My name is Trevor Smith with the Doggy Dojo, and today we're going to help you guys save your conference calls. We have special guests, Jess Ocon and Jamie Popper with Blue Nine Pet Products, and Robin Bennett with the Dog Gurus to help you today.
Welcome, everyone. We are super excited to be giving you guys another session in the Elevate Your Dog Summit. And I've got Jess Ocon here with me, Hello. As well as our two little demo dogs here. We've got Rue, the Australian Shepherd, and Heth, the miniature American Shepherd. And I also want to introduce Robin Bennett from the Dog Gurus, who we have on here as well.
Welcome, everybody. We're so glad to have you guys here. Let's talk about surviving life with your dog at home while you're trying to work there.
Yes. So we kind of have a hit list of different items that we wanted to talk about and give you guys some tips on working with your dog from home. Jess, what are some of the things that we've heard from pet owners and stuff like that of problem behaviors that they're having to deal with while they're working from home?
Absolutely. So barking excessively when you're trying to have a conference call or a Zoom meeting, or your dog just dropping toys into your lap. Mine like to do that when I'm trying to get some work done. Our dogs have no idea why we're home right now, so they're trying to understand in their own way. So barking, dropping toys on your lap, or just otherwise getting in front of your webcam when you're trying to have Zoom meetings or something like that.
Yeah, and then Robin, I think you shared something about like working with kids and like how kids and dogs are spending a lot more time together right now.
I think that goes in the whole category of surviving when you're trying to work at home. You got the dog, you got the kids, you've got both of them coming in potentially to get your attention. And so we're going to give you some ideas of maybe getting those two to go off and do some things on their own together while you're at work in your office or wherever you're working from home right now. So yeah, I think I'm really excited because I've had so many people emailing me in the past 2 weeks thinking this work at home thing sounded like a good idea, but I can't get any work done. So we'll hopefully give you some tips on all of that.
Yeah. And there's one other problem that we'll talk a little bit about too, and that's separation anxiety or supervised separation. You know, I think a lot of people think, oh, this is great that I get to work from home with my dog. And for those that are, enjoying it, maybe they're spending a lot of time with their dog. But what does that mean when, this pandemic, it has settled a bit and we return back to our normal lives and back to work and stuff like that? What does separation anxiety look like, and what are some things that we should be doing while we're working from home? We're having a meeting. We're on a conference call. What are our dogs doing? What should our dogs be doing? What are some strategies that we can put into place so that when we're on this conference call, our dog isn't kind of bothering us? And I'll let Robin jump off to start.
Well, I have a couple of pretty easy tips to begin with. Number one is, this is a great time before you actually go to work, since you don't have that travel time anymore. You're basically going from your bedroom to your office or wherever you're going to be working. I would use that travel time to maybe get your dog out on a little walk or do some kind of physical activity to get them started off by tiring them out first thing in the morning. I mean, they're going to be ready to go and they're going to be wondering why you're still there. So use that time that you would typically travel to your office location to just get outside, take them for a walk, throw the ball, obviously honoring all the social distancing stuff, but you and your dog just use up some energy. And then when you bring them back in, my recommendation is have a ready supply of what I call attention, things that you can do to get your dog's attention on something other than you. So one of the typical things that I use, which is the easiest thing for me, is a Kong toy, any kind of hollow toy that your dog can chew on. I stuff these with various food, leftover food, sometimes my dog's treats, sometimes bananas, whatever. And then because my dog is pretty persistent, I actually freeze these. So it takes him a while to get the food out. Now, if your dog's never had a stuffed toy or a stuffed puzzle kind of toy, I would make it relatively easy at first. But as your dog gets better and you kind of learn your dog's persistence level, maybe make it a little bit harder. Initially, the treats can just fall right out. But for my dog, I actually stuff the toy pretty full and then I put it in the freezer. And then I give that to him before I'm about to get a phone call or before I'm about to get on a conference call. Or for instance, right before this call here, I gave one of these to my dog so that he's doing that and I can have, you know, 30 minutes to an hour to do whatever I need to do. So that's kind of an easy way to manage the situation. I know you guys probably have some other suggestions as well. So I'm going to throw it back to you guys to talk about some other ideas.
Those are all really great. You know, one of the other bullet points that we kind of brainstormed leading up to this Facebook Live was talking a little bit about training an off switch. And one of the ways that we do that is by training our dogs to go to their bed or go to their place board or go to their climb, which is what our dogs are doing up here until we ask them to do something else. So what's really important about like training an off switch is you want to make sure that you're rewarding your dog when they are actually relaxed. So this is probably a really good example. Rue, you can see, is laying down right now. He's got his head turned away from me. He's not, you know, trying to engage me in any work or play or anything like that. So his off switch is engaged. So what I can do is I can reward him for that, you know, calm demeanor. Whereas Hef over here is ready to work. Yes. His on switch is engaged. So he's still trying to get Jess to engage with him or be rewarded. And I'm sure that if we ignored him for another 30 seconds that he would chill out too. But this is really great to point out. So you'll see that he's laying down, but every once in a while he'll like kick his foot out and say like, look at me, I'm so relaxed. I'm so laying down. Sometimes what he'll do is he'll put his head down on his feet. And that's his way of saying like, look, I'm relaxed. So you really want to wait your dog out, wait until they're actually really relaxed, really not, you know, trying to engage with you, and then reward those moments. So you can see now that I've given Rue a treat, he's like, okay, hey, there's food that's available, there's reinforcers that's available, so now I actually want to work. So I would ignore him until he puts his head down or takes a deep breath, that sort of thing. So when it comes to training an off switch, it's really about finding those moments when your dog is actually relaxed and calm and rewarding those. So you can see now he's put his head back down. He's relaxed. He's not trying to get me to work with him. So now would be a good time to reward him. Hef's just ready to go.
And with Hef, because he's off switch is not as off, I'm waiting for even him just looking away from me. Anything that just says, like, I can relax and just look away, I'm not engaged with mom staring at her wondering when my next cookie is going to be. So every time I give him a cookie, he re-engages with me, so I have to really not look at him and kind of use my peripherals right now, my peripheral vision, and see when he's putting his head down or relaxing in other ways.
Yeah. Another way that you can work on this with your dog is tethering them with a leash.
Yeah.
So if you tether them to a heavy piece of furniture, or you can tether them to yourself if you're going to be relatively stationary, and then just ignoring the dog. And, you know, for the first couple of minutes, they're going to try and engage with you, try and get you to do some things. But when they finally give up and just, you know, relax, definitely rewarding them during that point as well. And soon they'll be relaxed for longer and longer periods. And you can have that kind of off switch in the house.
Yeah, I was going to jump in and say, I love that you're rewarding calm behavior or the dog's doing nothing. Most of the time, people don't think about that. They don't think about rewarding calm behavior. But you have to also understand how dogs learn. They're going to do, if you give them something they want, they're going to do whatever preceded that behavior. So I literally went over to someone's house, this was a while ago, because they were having problems getting work done. They were studying for school. They were getting a master's. And they said, every time I go to study, my dog will not leave me alone unless I give him treats. And so she demonstrated this idea by going into the room where she had treats and the dog would come up and paw at her and then bark and she would throw him a treat in order to get him to be quiet. And I explained to her, you're actually rewarding him. You're actually teaching him to paw at you and bark at you because he's getting the treat right after he does that. So it's really important to understand that whole theory of how dogs learn. You might think you're just trying to get him away from you by tossing a treat or whatever, but you also have to realize you're rewarding him. And we have time all during the day to do exactly what you guys are talking about, which is reward that calm behavior. So I love that. And I love the tethering idea as well. Another option you can do if you are about to get on a phone call or about to do something where you want it to be a little bit quiet is some of any kind of puzzle toy. And we did a whole session on the Elevate conference about boredom busters. And some of those are things that your dog can do by themselves. So go back to that video and look at those things. But things like snuffle mats or puzzle toys, any of those things that you're going to give to your dog before you get on that phone call. But again, teach them how to use it before you just give it to them and walk away. And obviously make sure that, you know, it's not something they're going to tear up or destroy while you're on your call. So check out that as well. I'm going to throw it back to you guys to talk about some of the barking that you had mentioned, barking at things when you're on a call, or barking when you're trying to just get some work done. What ideas do you have for that?
Yeah, so we talked about some training ideas, but there's lots of other things that you can do to manage it.
And I'll talk about this. I have a house of four dogs, and all of them are very vocal dogs. They like to tell me what's going on outside. So when I work from home, I have to really pay attention to not only setting up an environment that's good for me to work in, but setting up an environment that's going to reduce the outside sources that are going to make my dog bark. So, for example, I have these big, beautiful bay windows in my living room that face my driveway, but every time that my neighbor pulls in and out of her driveway or has her dog outside, my dogs go to the window and bark. So, really easy, simple solution was putting up some blinds and some curtains and blocking that visual stimulation for my dogs to no longer be able to see my driveway, and it's drastically brought down the barking level in my house. So, you know, not only setting up an environment for you to work in, but set up your environment that's going to set your dog up for success. So blocking windows, closing doors, if you have to cover a crate or wherever that you have your dog stationed while you're working, proof it. You know, just like we childproof our houses before babies come home and when we do it with puppies, sometimes we have to do it with adult dogs as well. So if your dogs like looking out windows and barking at squirrels or barking at the mailman as he goes by, let's think about how we can block those areas, either not allowing your dog access to look at those windows or just covering them up in the meantime so the dogs don't have that trigger in order to start barking.
Yeah, and I think management is so key in order to break that behavior, because you're not going to necessarily be able to train it 100% of the time if you're on a phone call or whatever. So during those times, that's when that management is going to come into play. So you really... the barking is self-reinforcing for dogs. So the more they do it, the more they're rewarding themselves. Doesn't matter, you know, that you might be yelling at them about the whole situation. They're still rewarding themselves by barking. So the management piece of it, I think, is critical. And that is blocking the windows, preventing them from having access to that room where the windows are located, or just letting them not see out them, like Jess is talking about. Jamie, I know we talked a little bit, and this goes into the whole training piece about sort of training the dog not to respond that way. And I know you've done this a lot with the doorbell challenge. And I will say really quickly before I toss it back to Jamie to talk about that, that we are live. So this is a great opportunity, if you're watching, to share this with your friends so that they can see it as well. And definitely post any kind of questions, because we will be happy to answer any questions as we are on here as well. So talk about dealing with barking and the doorbell and people, dogs that see things out the window, Jamie.
Yeah. So on the Blue Nine Dog Training Games Facebook group, we created a doorbell challenge. It was a series of five different videos that show you how to train your dog to respond appropriately when they hear the doorbell and when guests are coming in. So it's kind of that whole thing of, like, you know, guests are coming over, doorbells are happening, but it's also, there's a great video on there for working on noise desensitization. So all of the noises that our dogs typically bark at, like knocking on the door, doorbells, or, you know, other trigger words and stuff like that. So if you're looking for information about that doorbell challenge, there's a couple of places that you can find it. Definitely go to Blue Nine Dog Training Games, the Facebook group, and request to join. And you'll be able to see in there, there's a unit that has all of the doorbell challenge videos. So that's probably the best place for them to go and find it. It's also on our website. It's kind of in a hidden location there. So hit that Facebook group, and that's where you'll get most of it. And that kind of leads us into like managing kids and dogs too. So if we're doing all of these fun training exercises with our dogs to get them engaged and work on some of their problem behaviors that they might have in order to make them a little bit more manageable, this is definitely a family affair too. So who'd like to talk a little bit about how we might be able to engage the kids in, if you have kids in your home, to work on this as well?
So this is, my kids are in their 20s now, so it's not a big issue now, but I at one point had three dogs and my two kids all in the house. They were all, you know, young. The dogs were young, the kids were young. It was a nightmare. And I did try to work from home a lot at that point. So I do feel like I have some things to say for this that'll help. And one is really kids 8 and above, I find, are amazing dog trainers. Like if you give them a little bit of information on what you want them to do with their dog, they're awesome. Kids younger than that sometimes need a little bit of supervision, but they're also super smart and they can also work with your dog. They might need a little bit more guidance though, but I'm just going to tell you, kids sometimes are the best trainers of all. So definitely get your kids to help you with some of this training of the dog. And one of the best things to do is get your kids to teach some tricks to your dog. Just simple things like roll over or sit up or shake or spin, like basic easy tricks. And you can go online and Google some of those tricks. I know Blue Nine has some of those on their Facebook page or their YouTube channel. And get your kids to watch those and then say, hey, let's see if today or by Wednesday or by Friday or whatever, let's see if you can teach the dog how to do a spin. And the great thing is they're going to have fun. The dog's going to have fun. They're both going to be mentally exhausted because it's going to cause them to both think, both the children and the dogs. So that's one thing, is just give them some treats. Let them try to work with the dog and see what they can do. They might come up with some really unique tricks too that will surprise you. My kids used to always teach my dog things that I never had thought of. So they were the ones that first taught him to crawl. They were the ones that first taught him to go through a tunnel. And some of those things I would have taught my dog eventually, but my kids were on it and it was fun for them. So definitely doing that kind of thing. The other thing is, this is one of my favorites. Since your kids are home and your dog's at home and you're at home, I would tell your kids, it's your job to watch for anything outside that normally interests the dog. So that's typically the mail person or the UPS driver or people walking by your house, squirrels, whatever those triggers are for your dog. Tell your kids, it's their job to watch for those things. And every time they see them, they need to call the dog away from that thing to them in another room, ideally. They might start out kind of close, but the goal is eventually that they can call the dog away from those things. Because here's what happens. Number one, constant training throughout the day. Now your kids are looking for the triggers and then they're teaching the dog to come away. Number two, the dog's actually learning, when I see the mail person or I see the UPS truck go by, I should run to the other room. That was one of the things that we taught our dog. When the doorbell rang, we taught him to go to another room. And we did that by constantly rewarding him for going there when the doorbell rang. And our kids did help us do that. So that's another really good activity. And then things like hide and seek. So have the kids hide with a treat or a toy or something your dog really likes, and then call the dog. That becomes a big interactive game for your dog. And they both get exercise. Your kids get exercise and the dog gets exercise. So lots of activities that you can do to keep the children and the dog occupied at the same time. And they both get some exercise and they both get a little bit, the dog especially is getting a little bit of training. So I'll throw it back to you guys if you have any other questions, but those are some of the key ones that we did with our kids when they were younger.
I think that kind of hits on that broad idea, hits on a couple of different things that we talked about too. Overall, if we give our dogs more exercise, more mental enrichment, and try and weave in some training in there, that's going to help with the problem behaviors that we have overall. So more physical exercise means that we have a tired dog. More mental enrichment means that we don't have a bored dog. And more training obviously means that we have more tools in our box to be able to, you know, manage those behaviors with our dog. And I know that this is kind of a subject for all of us that are in the pet industry, but thinking about ways that you can still get your dog that exercise. So if you are used to taking your dog to daycare, or if you had a pet sitter or a dog walker, if they are still offering services, just because you're at home doesn't necessarily mean that your dog doesn't still want to enjoy those different activities. So if you're, you know, busy working, think about daycare options. Think about your pet sitter options. Think about, you know, dog walking options that are available as well, because your dog's not used to this schedule.
Yeah,
this big change in the schedule either.
Yeah, and I was going to say, that's one of the things that I've started getting calls on is people are saying, oh, I'm home and now my dog's, you know, crazier than ever or doing things that he's never done before. And change of routine does sometimes result in dogs that have behaviors that you would have never seen before. Sometimes house training problems, sometimes chewing or destructive behaviors will happen just because there was a change in routine. So the fact that you're home may be an awesome thing to your dog, but it is a change of routine. These are the calls I'm getting right now are the calls that I typically get when people go back to school in the fall and when school ends. So it's that same thing. So I definitely think trying to come up with some kind of schedule that you can help your dog get adjusted to. And frankly, schedules are good for all of us. So definitely if you're able to take them, you know, if their normal routine is to go to a daycare or pet sitter, and those are options that you still have, I would definitely continue to look at those. And I think that goes into a little bit of the separation anxiety topic, if you guys want to talk about that. Because that's my other biggest concern, is when all this ends, these dogs who are now getting 24/7 attention are going to be in a state of shock when everything goes back to normal again. So
so right now we have a 7-month-old puppy in the house, which has been awesome training time for him. But one of the things that is a concern is that he's going to develop some separation anxiety now that life is starting to go back to normal. Jamie and I are fortunate to still be able to come to the Blue Nine office, obviously practicing social distancing while we're all in the office. But my puppy is spending some time in his crate throughout the day, even when I am working from home. So we'll get up in the morning, we'll go in our normal potty break, keep our normal routine, and then the puppy, as he's still very much in the learning process, is still getting crated during the day, and then he comes out from his, you know, for his lunchtime potty break and playtime, and then goes back into his crate. And we're doing that because we want to keep that routine as much as possible, so that when Blue Nine's back on the road and I'm traveling again and my puppy can't have 24/7 playtime and roughhousing with the other dogs, it needs to be back in his puppy area. He's used to it, and there's not that shock of, oh my gosh, I've been out for a month and a half now, and now I have to live in my crate for 8 hours a day. So keeping his routine as much as possible. My older dogs have a little bit more flexibility because they have so much more time in their crate that I can put them back in there, and they don't have any issues with it. So really working on that safe spacing, again, keeping that routine as close to possible for when you go back into the office, and setting the dogs up for success.
Yeah, just another thing to add on to that. You know, it's one thing to crate your dog when you're in the house with them, and you should definitely practice that as well, because they should be able to relax in their crate when you're working in your home office, that sort of thing. But don't forget to also practice leaving your dog at home and actually leaving your house as well. So maybe that means, you know, leaving your dog in their kennel at home when you just go for, you know, a 20-minute drive, whether that's around your neighborhood or your city, if you're not on a shelter-in-place order, you know, make sure that you're still getting out of the house and away from the dog as well. And practicing those, you know, once or twice a week in short intervals to make sure that your dog is still safe and comfortable with that as well. So an ounce of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure.
Yeah, and I would say for those of you that have dogs that you already had a separation anxiety issue with your dog, and it was, you had already, you know, been working on that, this is a great opportunity to continue working on that. Now that you actually do have time, all of those protocols that you've been talked to about with leaving, picking up your keys, pretending to go outside, like, you have time to do that now. So you can actually really use this opportunity for those that have dogs with separation anxiety. Now that you're home all the time, you can actually use those opportunities now to start building those protocols. But so those dogs hopefully will improve. But then again, as Jamie and Jess said, the dogs that do not have separation anxiety, if we don't work on it, it's possible that we can create that in them by not ever having time with them where they're alone or away from us. So definitely practice times where you do go out of the house and go for a walk, go get the mail, whatever, and your dog's alone, because we just want them to remember that they're going to be okay that way too. They don't just totally get used to us being home 24/7.
I just have to say, like, I'm really excited about what the prospect of our dog's quality of life can look like after this. This whole pandemic is over. So with the extra time that we have to be able to spend with the dogs that are in our care, being able to work on some of those physical enrichment activities, mental enrichment activities, and some training with them, if you dedicate the time to do this with your dog, at the end of all of this, you're going to be in a much better spot with your dog and able to do a lot more with your dog. And I do want to like mention too, we've given a lot of different suggestions, but I don't want anyone to feel like, you guys, I'm actually working from home. I'm still working 40 hours a week. I don't have time for this. Dog training shouldn't take that long. My training sessions with Rue are, you know, we work for 2 minutes, then we play tug of war for 30 seconds as a little break. We work for another 2 minutes, play 30 seconds of tug of war as a break, and then we're done. And that's, you know, a 5-minute training session. There's a lot that can get accomplished in that. Same thing for our food puzzle toys. If you have a handful of Kong toys, you can stuff them all at once. It'll take you 10 minutes, pop them in the freezer. And then you've got, you know, activities that can keep your dog busy when you're on conference calls and that sort of thing. So don't want people to think like, oh man, this is a huge time investment. I need to block out 30 minutes just to work with my dog. You know, it'd be nice if they got a 30-minute walk every day, but their training sessions don't need to be that long.
Yeah, and just to jump off of that really quickly, I'm wearing my treat pouch around my house because every moment is a training moment. You don't have to schedule it in your day. You know, even during this live call right now, this has been a training session for Hef. You know, I've just been like, I don't know if you guys have noticed, just kind of rewarding him off to the side randomly. I dropped that cookie. That was my fault. But even at home, come up. You know, if we have our treat pouches or at least cups of cookies around the house that are easy to get to, you can train your dog or reward them for good behaviors throughout the day. And that was a 30-second training moment that you didn't schedule or even take any additional time out of your day for.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I have treats just kind of around the house because anytime you're interacting with your dog, we like to say one of the two of you is learning. We hope it's the dog. Sometimes it's us, but but you're going to let the dog out. You're going to feed the dog. You're going to play with the dog. All of those opportunities that you're interacting with your dog are just opportunities to be a little more intentional to really get them to understand something or teach them something new or whatever. So I definitely agree. My training sessions are super short. I mean, 5 to 6 minutes at the most. And I would like to say that's because of my dog's attention span. I actually think it's because of my attention span. but that's all you need. I mean, a couple of those a day and your dog will start learning. And I do think that all of that builds relationships with the dog.
That's awesome. And it sounds like we got a couple of questions that popped in. Jess, if you want to share the first one with us, we'll go one at a time.
Sure. The first one was going to be from Cindy. She says her Fidelity Shepherd will spin and bark for attention. Do I just ignore and wait it out or any other suggestions? I think we kind of mentioned a couple of those there. If you have a dog that's really just attention seeking, work with those frozen Kongs, work with those food puzzles, and just really try and capture those calm behaviors. And I know it can be really annoying and we have to have more patience than our dogs, which is really hard sometimes. But just try and capture those moments where they're not barking and spinning and offer them a frozen Kong or a treat toy, some sort of redirection.
Yeah, I would say if the dog is spinning and barking, that can definitely be a stereotypic behavior. And so we want to make sure that we're interrupting those as soon as we see them and then redirecting the dog to do something else that would be a more appropriate behavior. Because again, that spinning and barking can be self-reinforcing. So it's not something that we just want to ignore. Definitely interrupt that behavior, teach them to, you know, go and lay down on their bed. And then once you've got, you know, a rewardable behavior, reinforce that. Rue right here is like falling asleep with his head up. He's so relaxed up here. Well, to kind of wrap this up with you guys, Robin, can you think of any resources or places where people can find out more about you or any offerings that you have that are kind of on the topics of, you know, some of the different training things that we talked about?
Well, I actually work primarily with daycare boarding facilities. You can find out about me at my website is thedoggurus.com. Or you can email me. I am a certified professional dog trainer. So you can email me at robin@thedoggurus.com. But I would reach out to daycare and boarding facilities in your area. They're actually selling a trick training program right now that I did. And they are using it to help keep their clients' dogs busy at home. But that's a trick training program that you can get from some of our local vendors. If you can't find somebody in your area, contact me and I can put you in touch with someone that can get that program to you.
Awesome. And then if people want to find out more about Flu9's pet products, of course, we have our Facebook page. That Facebook group is really a really neat community of a lot of professional dog trainers, but then also just dog owners that are really engaged with their dogs as well. We do different training challenges there that give you tips and tricks on ways to work with your dogs. And then Flu9 also has a learn section on their website, so they can definitely check out that. Jess, can you think of any other resources that you might recommend?
Our YouTube channel. Subscribe to Flu9's YouTube channel. We've got dozens of videos that will give you just real quick ideas that you can do throughout the day in like short little bursts.
Awesome. Well, I want to say thank you to everyone who joined today. It was really nice chatting with everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us here on the Life with Your Dog podcast. Please consider subscribing. And also, if you have any questions, please reach out at www.thedoggydojo.com. You can see everything that's happening over there on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. On that website, you can also sign up for a free 4-week dog training course. Thank you for joining us today. And as always, have some fun with your dog.